So, we'll meet today the practice of Tonglen, which is Tibetan for receive, give. Tonglen, two words in Tibetan. I don't know Tibetan, but I know that's what it means. And it's similar in a way to the MSC practice of giving and receiving compassion, which is a kind of a simplification and maybe a westernization, psychologization of Tonglen, a lot more accessible sounding. Because in the giving, receiving of compassion practice of the Mindful Self-Compassion course on the breath cycle, and they both use the breath cycle, the MSC version, breathing in is what you need, breathing in resources, breathing in care, breathing in love, breathing in whatever you need. And then you're, full of love and energy and compassion, right? And then you have lots to give, and so you give it away. And on the exhale, in their version, you give to others. Well, the Buddhists were a little more, I don't know what the right word is, hardcore maybe. Had a lot of faith in themselves and in meditation and in Buddha, and Dharma and Sangha. We'll talk about those three later. And in Tonglen meditation, you breathe in suffering, actually, into your heart. And the faith slash trust piece is that your heart is so big. It's bigger than you understand it to be. And Norman will talk about this quality of absolute compassion or absolute bodhicitta in the book. And it's so big it can easily hold anything, And not only hold it, it doesn't actually hold on to it, transforms it, turns it, purifies and clears it. And then you're breathing out healing and light and freedom. And you're breathing out, compassion. From the MSC framework, although they don't usually say it that way. So this may sound a little intimidating, so we start gently, like everything, and just with an open mind and a lot of curiosity, and just see what happens, see how it feels. And luckily, we're doing this through our own minds, with our own imaginations, right? So these cultivation practices, like loving kindness, compassion, now Tonglen, they're actually making use of the imagination, And the imagination maybe doesn't have as kind of, maybe has a little bit of a, not as strong of a reputation as it should have, because the imagination is much more powerful than just like thinking of ways to do creative work or something like that. And in a way, your whole life is imagined, So we're just doing it more deliberately when we do these meditations. We're imagining the connection to the suffering, we're imagining a vast, loving, open heart that's beyond, sort of practicality that can absorb the suffering and transform it. And we're imagining giving it to others, sometimes specific others, sometimes universally, everybody, all beings deserve this love and compassion. Since it's all running through your imagination, you are in choice, right? Always. So if it does get to be flooding or you zip out into this sort of overwhelm state, you know some methods already, but I'll remind you of a few of them. One is if you're practicing with eyes closed, open your eyes, let in light, look at the room, and have that tangible reminder, I'm right here, this is just imagine, I'm right here, I'm experimenting, so I don't need to be lost in the suffering. Another one is to stand. Just changing your posture signals to the whole system, some important information about your actual situation. I'm just standing here. Another is actually a great virtue of Zoom, which is be aware of how to easily turn the volume up and down on your computer, your device, or whatever it is. You can turn me down. You can mute me completely, Can't do that in a live class, So if you're just like, oh, this is too much, I'm just going to turn Tim off for a while and do my own meditation. Similarly, you could leave the room, come back in 10, 15, go on a walk around the block. So I never want to predict that any particular anything will be really triggering or really hard, but you kind of never know, we're complicated, and we all carry a lot, and sometimes these practices unlock something. You maybe remember also from MSC that really useful concept of backdraft. I think Lisa brought that up last week. A really important concept. And in Buddhism, they don't use that term exactly, or it's from firefighting. Oh, and good news. I once had a firefighter in one of my classes, so I asked him, are we using this term correctly? And he said, yeah, that's what it is. So like, oh, good, you know. I always worry about like stealing somebody else's, you know, terminology from another field, you know. Could be anyway. So, yeah, so backdraft meaning that there could be something smoldering in some deep recess of the heart, and these practices crack the door open, you know. And in a way, if it's not too intense, I usually feel encouraged, actually. If I or someone I'm working with has a big emotional response to something. Because to me, you know, within reason, we've got to be careful, but within reason, it means that you're ready, you know? And the system, I think, has this tremendous self-regulatory ability, you know, that we can really, you know, appreciate that maybe you're ready to let this thing back up into awareness, you know? And it may be difficult, it may be overwhelming, but, you know, in some way you're ready. You're not ready, you know, then we'll take care of yourself and can reach out later and so on and so forth. So that makes sense. I hope I haven't just made you nervous. Everyone okay? All right, good. Just gotta take care of ourselves. And so in the Tonglen phrases, the mind training phrases, or the Lojong phrases, excuse me, they include Tonglen, they especially say to start with yourself. So that kind of matches MSC, actually, to start with yourself. So we'll do that. Okay, let me just toggle a few things around here. Bum, 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 bum.